Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and we are going to talk about pets. How important is it for a family to have pets? Should children have pets growing up? What kind of pets? And we're also going to tell you some of our favorite pet stories. Welcome, Dr. Richard Tooley, for being with us all the way from Taiwan. It's been a while, and we're always glad when you can join us. So let's set the stage. Why do you think we should have pets?
Because they're fun. That's the short answer. But pets are rather interesting things in the way they relate to people. You know, I can remember in the 70s, I don't know if you remember this, the pet rock frenzy that went on. People got themselves pet rocks. It seems like people want to have pets, whatever they are. My daughter has a habit of naming everything she owns some kind of a name. She had a car named Schultz and Heinrich. And so people want to have something that they humanize or turn into a human or now, give it some kind of a life.
Do you think this is something that God created us with? Because when you read the creation story, animals and naming the animals was one of the first acts that Adam and Eve did.
That would be an interesting theory. It's hard to know because children are socialized from birth. When we barely get them out of a crib and we're giving them toys to play with. Even in the crib, we give them toys to play with. And most of the time, those toys are stuffed animals or dollies or cars or trucks, you know. But usually, even with all of them end up with some kind of a stuffed animal or something that has two eyes and a nose and a mouth.
Okay, so go back in your early childhood and think of your very most memorable pet story and share that with us.
Well, the one that's most memorable isn't that really that good, but it wasn't my pet. It was somebody else's pet. It was memorable because this pet happened to get himself into a sewage pit and was drowning in the sewage pit. And I pulled him out and in the process got myself coated. Well, it wasn't the best sewage pit because it was behind a hospital, so it had all of the hospital waste in it. So that was pretty memorable. I mean, you can't get any more memorable than that, I don't think.
Yeah, you know, I'm just writing the book called Fritz, and I'm beginning at almost the very beginning. So the first three chapters are covering this event that we had. It was our first experience with camping, which camping is a show that I'd like to do. And you know, he's there along for the ride, and you and I are jumping from rock to rock, and our little brother Paul is trying to get up on the rocks, and he's, you know, fussing and crying, and Fritz is running there, and all of a sudden Fritz starts emitting this horrible cry. And for those of you that have ever heard a dog cry, it's really heart-wrenching. And then this big snake slithers away, this big timber rattler. And the experiences that I felt as my beloved prayed for a pet was just writhing in agony was horrific. You know, I think that our pets help us begin to face the reality of living on this planet because we love our pets and then things happen to our pets. And that experience just at the tender age of 6 years, I think you were 5 years old, Maybe I was 7 and you were 6. I can't quite remember. But having that little dog, you know, and then insisting that you and Paul and I go and pray for that dog. His face swelled up. His breathing became very shallow. And then at some point, it stopped. And we would go and pray. And I said, you know, remember Naaman, he had to go and wash 7 times. We're going to pray 7 times before we dig the hole to bury our dog. And so you and I would go outside and we'd pray and we'd come back. He was laying on the couch, and it was a Naga hide couch. And we'd, you know, check, and no sign of life. Just this horrible looking, big-headed little dachshund with 2 big fang marks in him that were still had some dried blood on them. And we went out there and we prayed again and we prayed again. And it was the 7th time when we came back and we heard a little tap, tap, tap on that Naga hide couch. And we said, Mom, Dad, come quick. There's still some life in him. Just a little tap, and then he brings that big volleyball head up, and he literally, it was much heavier with the fluids and whatever his body was working to, you know, help him survive. Literally topples off that Naga hide couch onto the linoleum floor and kind of drags his head along as he's trying to get up and show us that, yeah, he wants to keep living. And I learned a lot from that. I think that experience fortified me through some awful experiences in life. Not all of them turned out as positive as his did, but I still knew that I served a God that could do whatever God wanted to do. After all, God and dog, you know, dog is just God spelled backwards.
Yeah. The stories about pets and kids with pets, you know, there's plenty of them. You were the stray bringer homer forever. That's my first memories is you bringing home some stray dog. Can we keep it? No. So you had wanted a dog for a very long time, or some, well, we had cats, you know, that were always around, but dogs, we didn't have any dogs, and you'd always bring home these dogs. And then finally we got a dog that stuck with us, and that's where your Fritz stories comes from, because that little dachshund stuck with us for 17 years.
Yes, you know, I have so many great memories and so many lessons learned that I think families, when they are contemplating getting a pet, need to really explore the kind of breed that they should get. For our family, that dachshund served such a wonderful purpose. But I know later in life you really gravitated towards bigger dogs. Can you tell us some of the experiences or why you would like a bigger dog?
I like German Shepherds. I still like German Shepherds. They're extremely intelligent animals, and they don't deserve some of the fear that people give them. We got a couple of German Shepherds. One was a silver point, one was a red. And one of them was a talker. She would talk and talk and talk. But the red, Rocky, he was a silent one. Rocky was an interesting dog because he was a big German Shepherd. He probably weighed 80 or 90 pounds, you know, big dog. But he loved kids. And we would have him out, and then the kids would start in the neighborhood, would all come down to our yard, and they would play in the yard, and that dog would be out there sitting with them. And if anybody came along that dog didn't recognize, you would see him get up and get between the children and whoever was coming down the street. Always did that. And one night, someone tried to steal the battery out of our car. And that dog went up over a 6-foot fence, didn't bark,
Those are the most scary kind.
And what we heard was the perpetrator tripping up the ladders of the next door neighbor's driveway because he'd laid all of his ladders out in the driveway. And as this guy went running, he unfortunately picked that direction to run in, and he clattered all the way up over the top of those ladders. So dogs are kind of nice even for that purpose. Fritz, even the little dachshund, he was a good alarm. Anybody come along and that dog would bark. Now, of course, that dog would bark when we didn't want him to, but, you know, I think part of it for us kids having pets did a couple of things. One, we learned how to deal with people and with something that needed us to take care of it. And we learned some concept of what it means to love. So I think that there are some significant benefits to having pets for children, even at quite a young age. I know that there are many pundits who will suggest that a child should not have a pet before the age of 3. But I won't dispute everything that they say. I think that it depends on the situation and depends on the pet. It depends on the family. But sometimes you can see children who are born, you know, babies who have, there's a pet there. Mm-hmm. And most of the time that pet is loyal to that baby and really is protective of it.
Yes.
And I think that's a healthy thing for them.
Well, we have to take a break right here. We're talking about pets and how important they are for our young people and for us too. We'll be right back.
Hoffy, when are we going to get through this jungle?
I don't know.
Hoffy, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, let me see.
This crap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, and I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at homeschoolcompanion.org. That's all one word, homeschoolcompanion.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you. So be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783. Welcome back. I'm talking with Dr. Richard Tooley all the way over in Taiwan, and we are talking about pets today. How important pets are for our young people as they're growing up. We've already discussed the idea that a pet helps a child learn responsibility, and a pet helps a child learn empathy and kindness. And also, they can experience unconditional love. Sometimes when nobody else has an ear for something that they're going through, that pet seems to have unconditional love and, you know, will just sit there and listen. And that's a great thing. God talks to us through the tenderest ties, and not just human beings, but he talks to us through nature. He talks to us through beautiful flowers and wind and rain and trees. And he talks to us through animals. Now, you talked about me bringing strays home, but I'm here to tell you that you were the one that brought some pretty exotic pets into the house, and or at least outside the house in a pen. So what made you so interested in cobras or, you know, these snakes that were really dangerous?
I had quite a little interest in snakes. Part of it, I think, was I was a, 13-year-old boy, and it was kind of cool to have a snake.
Yeah, well, you could have stuck with a, maybe a python or something like that. So yeah. Tell us the story about the day that you captured the king cobra or whatever kind of cobra. It was huge, whatever kind it was.
Yeah, I captured a black mamba, and that was one of them that I had. And the dentist that we had captured a spitting cobra for me. So I had both of those in
cages.
Yeah,
so when you went down, they called you down to the hospital because they had this big, huge cobra cornered, and they called you down. So at that point, you must have gained some kind of notoriety in the compound or among the hospital staff that you wanted cobras. I still haven't figured this out to this day.
Yeah, it was the dentist. So mm-hmm. He had been coming back for lunch, and he saw all of these people standing around with these long sticks in front of this building that they had been working on. And he looked inside, and there was this black snake. So he was kind of a pragmatic guy. He put a box down in there, and the snake went in the box, and he covered it up, and then he stuck it on his porch and called me.
Oh.
And in the meantime, one of our neighbors from outside of the compound at the cocoa factory.
Oh yeah, one of the Lebanese.
Yes, he was the accountant for them, the bookkeeper, the business manager. A stout little fellow, very proper, came to visit the dentist. And so he knocks on the door, and as he's waiting for the door to be answered, he hears this rustling behind him, and he looks around and comes face to face with this cobra's head poking up out of this box, at which point he departed the porch in the most graceful ballerina leap over a hedge and down a 4-foot drop, and then stood out in the middle of the yard until the dentist came out.
So when were you called?
Well, he had called me, so I came right about that time, and I took the cobra in his box and put it on my motorcycle and drove back to the house with it.
Because this is what I remember when you got back to the house. So this man's name was Lucian, and he came, and he and I were good friends, and he was talking to me, and he was showing me his new car. Somehow that snake got out of the box and went up through the engine of his new car. And so it was like he felt like that snake was following him wherever he went on the compound. Of course, he was welcomed on the compound, but he was terrified of snakes. It was just, I just remember my eyes getting so big as this cobra came up through the engine. I mean, how did it get there? I don't know. But anyway, you captured it again and put it in a cage. And every time we walked by the cage, the thing would spit at us. Anyway, we do not recommend that kind of animal for a pet. He wasn't loving. He wasn't kind. But he did remind me on an analogy of Satan who, goes around seeking who he can devour. I mean, this is a serious topic. I know we're chuckling a little bit, but as we remember some of the experiences with our pet, you had another pet that I was kind of envious of, and his name was Pepe. Just tell us a little bit about Pepe.
Oh, Pepe. Pepe was our African gray parrot. We had gone into a major town and we were shopping, and there in the little basket was this poor little bird. And I began negotiating with the person who had it, because whenever we saw animals that were tied up, trussed up, everything else, we had this tendency to buy them. You were pretty good at that yourself. And so I got this little bird from this guy for about $5. And I took him home, and he was a little African gray parrot, not too old. And we raised him there, gave him this huge cage out on our screen-in porch, which was probably a really good place for him because he learned to talk really well. And we used to play basketball out on the lawn behind our house. And he learned all of the sounds. He learned how to sound like the whistle when someone had committed a foul, and he learned how to tell him to shoot the ball, shoot, shoot, shoot. And we used to watch kids heave the ball from way away and with his wondering look on their face, like, why did you want me to do that? He would call Fritz, the dog. He could whistle like my dad could whistle when he called the dog. And so Pepe learned how to whistle to call the dog. And he would call our help. People who were working for us, he would call them.
And they would come running. Lamidi.
Yeah. He sounded just like my mother. And so they would come running. And, of course, the bird, I think the bird knew what he was doing.
I'll tell you what I remember. It's a Sabbath morning, and we're in our very Sabbath best. And somehow Pepe's gotten, you know, the run of the house. So he's up on one of the tops of the drapes. And Mom says, get that bird and put it back in the cage. It's time to go to church. And the bird does not want to go back in his cage. He knows exactly what you're up to. You take a broom handle and hold it up to him, and he gets on the broom handle and marches along the broom handle. And then he flies off the broom handle, and he lands on your head. And then at that point, I just remember looking at you and seeing that parrot poo sliding down the side of your face, you know, onto your Sabbath shirt, and the look on your face because you knew it too. And, you know, I learned a lot about God through that. I learned that even though we, you know, sometimes really do bad things, God still loves us so much. You took that bird and you carefully put him back in his cage. You cleaned up and you went to church. You just take care of messes in life. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I learned how to handle gross stuff and not feel like I was going to die afterwards, because I didn't.
Yeah, well, you know, we're coming to the end of our show, and I still haven't said half of what I'd like to say about how God uses pets and little creatures. Some of them don't have any, show any affection, and He loves us so much that he still speaks to all of these things in nature. So whether it's a dog or a cat, you know that providing that for your children is a great thing. And with that, we have one last thing to say, and that is, God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.